at Lookout Mountain Presbyterian Church when I was, 8 or 9 years old, that the Trinity is like ice, water, and steam. They're all H2O. They're just different modes of H2O. Now, have you ever heard that explanation? Did you know that that belief has a name? It's called Sabellianism. It's also called modalism. Did you know that belief has a history? This belief was condemned in the councils of the church as heresy, the same council that brought us the Nicene Creed, which we will recite this morning. Now, my Sunday school teacher, and probably yours, didn't know anything about this. And I must say that being taught that as a child actually was rather helpful to me because I think in concrete terms when I'm 8 or 9 years old. So I don't think it did me damage. But I think it's interesting that the Trinity is so mysterious that our best efforts at coming to an understanding still fall far short. Why was this condemned, by the way? You might wonder. I was wondering. It's because it contained a suggestion in it that the Trinitarian distinctions are external to God. That in his own eternal nature, God is really just one, not three, and we just experience him in three different ways. Well, today is Trinity Sunday. And while we find the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit independently or in pairs throughout the New Testament, we also find the three together in the Gospels, Matthew 28. In the Epistles, 2 Corinthians 13, the verse after the end of this morning's epistle reading. And even in the Didache, in Didache 7, that's a pastoral manual that was used throughout the church in the first and second centuries. Well, what kind of God is this Trinity whom we worship? What's the Trinity's place in religious philosophy and the history of the world's religions? Harold Turner, who died in 2002, was an authority on world religions and emerging religious movements in primitive societies. His work is now housed in Birmingham and Cambridge. And he maintained that most, if not all, religious worldviews could be assigned to one of three major categories. First is the atomic. That's symbolized by a group of billiard balls that the individual, the individual is the ultimate. Each person is a unique and autonomous center of knowledge and will. And we impact each other when we bounce off of each other, when we encounter each other, like billiard balls. And we're influenced by, but we're still independent of, each other. Now, Western individualism, especially the American way, is very, very much represented by the atomic view. It's all about liberty, freedom, and the individual. Second is the oceanic view. This is symbolized by the ocean. The whole is the ultimate, not the individual parts. Individual raindrops fall on the ocean and they lose their identity when they converge and blend with the ocean into a single identity. The soul of all that exists. When we impact each other, according to this view, we join the whole, which is influenced by us, but then it's joined with every drop that falls. And this view is represented pretty well in Hinduism and other Eastern religions. And then number three is the relational. Now, this is symbolized by distinct but connected strands of rope. I would like to think of it more in terms of threads in a tapestry, where the interconnectedness of unique entities produces a unified whole without subsuming any of the members. We intersect more than we impact. All right, we don't bounce off. We intersect. Impact implies brief meetings, but intersection implies a lifelong meeting. And this view is closest to the Bible and to our Trinitarian faith. But even though it's close, it's not a bullseye. Carl Henry says that the three persons of one God actually has no parallel in religious philosophy. In the history of religions, this is something different. This is something that defies traditional worldwide categorizations. There is no other God like this. No one else like this appears anywhere in history except our God. Let's take a couple of current examples. Islam. Islam worships a single God, Allah, who is perfect, but he's isolated. He has absolutely no peers with whom he can relate. In contrast, Hinduism, you have many gods. So they have a lot of relationship, but it's kind of messy. And then we have the Trinity. In the Trinity alone, we find perfect relationship. And so it's in the Trinity alone that we find the fountainhead of relationship, the fountainhead of love. This is where it all starts. One objection posited by Unitarians and others is that the Trinity violates the Hebrew Shema. You remember from Deuteronomy chapter 6? Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And in Hebrew, there's two words for one. One of these words is yachid, which means unique, a unity that precludes any distinguishable entities within it. But the other word is echad. That's a unity that does not preclude distinguishable entities within it, and echad is the word that is used in the Shema. In his book, Ministry of the Image of God, Stephen Stevens quotes Saint John of Damascus in his thoughts on the Trinity, and I'd like to read you what John of Damascus says. For the Father is without cause and unborn. He is derived from nothing, but derives from himself, his being. Nor does he derive a single quality from another. Rather, he is himself the beginning and cause of existence of all things in a definite and natural manner. But the Son is derived from the Father after the manner of generation. And the Holy Spirit likewise is derived from the Father, yet not after the manner of generation, but after that of procession. And we have learned that there is a difference between generation